Happy Friday and welcome back to the Trading Desk. My name is Joshua Thanos and this is
Jason Main. Welcome back, guys. Happy Friday. Thanks for coming back. Let's talk about some watches.
Okay, Jason, let's do that. All right. As customary on every show, we'll start with a wrist check. Jay, what do you got?
I have my ceramic non-date, the 114060, is still on the rubber B. I didn't think it would be, but I got to tell you, the strap is very comfortable. And I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. So Tang buckle,
think it's
little blue.
Sticking around. Little blue, matches the shirt. Good weekend look. Very comfortable. And I didn't think it was... this is arguably the most versatile watch that exists.
Yeah, I'd argue.
And, well, I just, you know, it's making a more versatile watch out of the most versatile watch. So I enjoy it.
Okay.
I like the strap quite a bit. And I think for what they charge for these straps, it's a pretty good value proposition. So
yeah.
Well,
you're gonna wear that during your birthday celebration this weekend.
I am. Yes,
that's right. Tonight possibly
has to be waterproof in case anything spills on it.
That's right.
We're
going. So if you guys don't know, you probably don't know. Jason, his birthday's coming up on Sunday, but we're gonna go celebrate tonight. How old are you gonna be, Jason?
I am 25 again. No, early 30s.
Early 30s.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
It's going to be a good time. Nice couple steaks, maybe.
Yeah.
Some drinks to
follow.
We're going
to do a little Ruth Chris, and then we'll see what kind of debauchery we can get into tonight.
For sure.
See if we can have to pawn that watch tonight.
No. What are you wearing?
All right, cool. So my watch is, if you've watched before, you know that this is my last Panerai that I have in my collection. It's a PAM 002, hashtag 2A, because it's an A serial Panerai. So it's for 1997. This watch has a great story behind it that we're not going to get into right now. But if you do want to know the story, go back like six episodes or so. I have it on one of the new bright orange rubber straps that I think is super freaking cool. It actually sort of matches the dial a little bit because the dial has that faded patina, or what I like to call water damage.
Forced patina.
Yeah, forced patina. Because this watch spent some time in the ocean. I have it on a Tang buckle, brush Tang buckle. The watch is fully polished, and you can see I'm beating the living crap out of it. There you go. And if you're listening on the podcast, you can't see.
That's a Hunter Orange for you guys that are.
Is that Hunter Orange? Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So
nice
I can
and bright.
Yeah. So when we go hunting this weekend, I'll be fully visible.
No excuses for missing you.
All right. Cool, man. So there you go. That's what's on our wrist this week. So let's get right into this or that. This is for anybody who's new to this show, a segment. This is that. It's basically like a versus segment. Each of us pick a watch and pit it against the others. And in the past, we had to pick this or that, but now you pick this or that. So just below the your viewing box there, you can see there's a link. Go ahead, click the link, vote for my watch. This week, I picked the first watch, so why don't you... Tell me what you picked against it, Jason.
I'm going first?
Yeah.
Well, if you pick first, you should go first. No?
No. All right.
You just want to reserve whatever time is left over to
That's
talk
right.
about
I'm
your
going
watch
hard.
For 15 minutes
That's
in
right.
a row.
Yes.
So this or that, the idea was basically just a very versatile, kind of off-the-beaten-path type of choice. So something you don't normally see. That's kind of out there, and I've always kind of had an affinity for this Excalibur case, Roger Dubuis. I've always loved the architecture of the case. This particular one is the newest, one of the newest iterations. So this has the Pirelli strap. So inside you'll see the tire marks on the rubber.
What size is that?
This is 45 millimeters. So this is celebrating, one, their collaboration with Lamborghini, and two, the Pirelli. But if we can, I don't know how close we can get in on this dial, but just
you can see
very, very nice
radiant
architecture.
Blue, right?
Yeah, radiant blue, but more so the three-dimensional dial. A lot of depth there, which I think is a story between both of these watches. But just realistically, what you get for the money here, we've got a really cool...
This is not one of their Lamborghini watches, is it?
This is not, but this came out in the same spirit of that. So here you have
that
the
rotor's
rim,
cool.
which is the rotor.
So that's supposed to be like Lamborghini rim.
Wound, so it's not going crazy right now. But just I think a lot of fine details, both in the movement. The dial is very complex, blue and red against that black strap with the red stitching. the watch is 45 millimeters. It actually wears really well, kind of wears like my Panerai. Sits relatively flat for a thicker watch. I enjoy this quite a bit. I think for the money, if you really wanted to buy something that you're not going to see somebody else wearing, as opposed to buying like the Rolex or a Panerai or something like that, this is a good pick. Sure.
What's the retail price on that, Jay?
Retail, I think, is $17,800. I'm not mistaken.
And you can pick them up pre-owned.
This
for
one
like
is a 2018, and we're asking $10,900 for this.
All right.
So figure around $10,000 more or less, depending on what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is cherry clean. So very,
turn off
very
the
nice
sound
pick
on your computer, Jason.
That was just somebody voting for me on the this or that.
Let me talk about my watch, and then we'll see who's winning here. All right. So that's the this. Jason has a Roger Dubuis. What is this again?
That's the Excalibur case.
Excalibur. Okay. Roger Dubuis Excalibur 45mm radiant blue dial. So let's go ahead and get a close up on what I have. Making you work here, cameraman. All right. So if you don't recognize this, that's fine. This watch is not the most popular model from the brand that's on the dial there, which is Vacheron Constantin. This is a Keatley. Tim was very specific in telling me it's Keatley, not Quietly. So this is the Keatley. This is a full stainless steel Keatley. It's a 41 millimeter. It's just the time and date. So when you look at this dial and you're not familiar with watches in general, or you're just getting started, you see that and you think to yourself, that looks like maybe a complicated watch. Reality, it's not. Just time and date, center seconds. And if you see just above the 6, let's see if we can get a better cue. So just above the 6, you see a little vertical triangle pointing at the 15th, right? Which is payday for me, so I've said it ahead of time. But that's going to indicate the date. Otherwise, the watch has a beautiful wrist presence. So let's go ahead and try that on. So again, 41 millimeters. It wears very similar to a Panerai 1940s, or what a high-class, well-finished version of that watch would be, right? Because it has a similar case shape. It's like oblong on the wrist. The lugs basically disappear into the case, so it's 41 millimeters. I believe it's almost 50 millimeters from lug to lug, but it sits beautifully on the wrist. You can see I have roughly a 7-inch wrist, maybe a little bit over, like a less than 7 1/4-inch wrist. It sits beautifully in my wrist. It's about 12 millimeters thick, I believe, as well. Does not have a screw-down crown, which is that's the only thing I would say that this watch needs. It has a beautiful step dial. If you're watching on the YouTube show, you can see the different dimensions of the dial. As I turn my wrist there, it's unbelievable. Look at that. So you're going to get – so in this watch, everyone knows that Vacheron is, a top three manufacturer in terms of level of finishing, right? So, they're the top three, all right? Obviously, in value retention, that's not always the case. So a watch like this, you're going to find it retails for $16,400. You're going to find this watch pre-owned for roughly the same, so roughly $10,000, maybe even a little bit less. So what you get with this watch is you get essentially an entry level. I know the new 56 is the lowest price point that Vacheron offers, but you're going to get what I believe should really be their entry level piece. And if it was up to me, the retail would be closer to $12,000 or so. But I think this piece could really do a lot for the brand. But as is, you're going to get an entry-level time and date watch with an amazing level of finishing. Cameraman, thank you very much, sir. There we go. Amazing level of finishing. It's a tungsten rotor. Again, Vacheron is used to making $30,000 and $40,000 watches. So in order to pare down on price point, they have to make some concessions. But tungsten as opposed to steel or bronze or not bronze, right. Gold. So you're going to get a tungsten rotor, a super high level of finishing. Nice finishing.
It's I think one of the mainstays here for the this or that. Mm-hmm. Actually,
this is a great watch.
We chose separately, but really when you start to think about it and dissect it, like both of these brands have fallen from grace.
Yes.
Right? They are not what they were in their heyday.
Vacheron's not what it was even 5 years
ago. Right, Vacheron more recently than RD.
Which is upsetting.
Many people, if you talk to a lot of guys, consider them falling out
while
of the
you're
Holy
talking,
Trinity.
Let's get a close-up on this buckle and see just the level of finishing on this double deployant. Look at that.
Take all the time you need.
Sorry, keep going.
So the
sell my watch, Jason.
Yeah, both of the watches are brands, rather, have kind of fallen out of grace with the Holy Trinity or the super high end. But what you get for value on return on money, you're looking at watches that aren't your cookie cutter, you know, guys walking into boutiques and spending
$10,000 or $12,000
on a watch that's like an IWC Petit Prince that's just, you know, cut and stamped and shipped.
Right.
You know, both of these watches offer handmade, a lot of value finished. For the money.
That's right.
So I think there's something to be said there. Both pieces, there's some comments about both watches are ugly. I agree that they're not
all watches
what
can be
everybody
ugly.
Likes. But the thing is, if we came on here and we showed the same watch every week, you know, you would stop watching or people wouldn't like what, you know. And then at the same time, there's people that enjoy these kind of like off the beaten path picks. So we went out of our way to kind of pick a watch that was off the beaten path.
Captain Zed said, I really like both. And you know what? I really like Captain Zed.
Captain Zed's good.
Don't be a watch good, now. Or, I mean, you can be, but it's just
my
more
good buddy,
fun not to be.
Ahmad, who is watching. Your watch is arriving tomorrow, by the way. Voted for you, actually.
Yeah, did
so,
he?
He's all right, got so horrible taste. I keep trying to talk him enough.
Look at this. Look at this. Oh, God.
All right.
Look at this. Oh, man, I'm kicking it. This is amazing. Oh,
there you go.
This is great. This is my birthday present.
My birthday's not until December. I don't mind the vote. I truly do really like this watch. I have always really liked this case. Ooh. So there's something to be said for collecting what you like and having a story.
Real quick, I just want to explain what I just did there. I'm beating the brakes off Jason here. It's an 85% to 15% win for me, guys. So if you're listening on the podcast, that's why I just
Josh
lost my
just
mind.
Beat himself. Yeah.
Yes,
so,
I did.
Really quick, like one of the reasons this case has always resonated with me, and even more so now, is I had the opportunity to go to California to Palm Springs.
That was
for
amazing.
The Roger
Dubuis
event where they first announced the Lamborghini partnership.
Yeah,
and I got to drive 12 Lamborghinis full out unsupervised around Palm Springs racetrack, and it was a hell of an experience. And I always liked the brand, but I just now specifically, they hold a special place for me.
Well, so Roger Dubuis, like the early Roger Dubuis, we talk about this all the time. So There's an amount of honesty in the brand that we kind of like. It lost its way for a little while. They're trying to make it back. But if you guys look, so if you hate this watch, it is what it is, right? It's kind of a weird watch. It's oversized. It's big. It's brash. Certainly not, if you're having a two watch collection, probably doesn't have a place. But if you got a 10 watch collection or something like that, where you can wear something funky and weird every once in a while, it works. Similar kind of this watch, though. Obviously, this watch is much less polarizing. When I say this watch, I mean the Vacheron Kittily. So it's the thing about Roger Dubuis is, if you know the heritage, if you know the man himself, you know that his commitment to making super high level finished watches is up there with, you know, the Laurent Ferriers, the Jorns of today, and the Philippe Dufours and guys like that, right? So if you think about that brand and start looking at like first generation watches, where like you can get like perpetual calendar chronos for less than $20,000 from a guy who was making those at Patek, and you can buy basically the same watch, right? In a different case, more of like a funky case, an artistic piece like that for less than $20,000. So it creates a ton of value when you look at a watch like that. So I personally really like Roger Dubuis. I don't really like that watch. It's just not for me. Not a lot of current Roger Dubuis I do like, but first gen Roger Dubuis are just
First gens are sick.
Unbelievable.
The Sympathy model is like one of the prettiest case designs out there. So this or that, we'll come back to the poll at the end, or we'll try.
Yeah, no, we don't have to, guys. We think we're done. In fact, let's just end the show.
Yeah. All right. So I found out earlier today, Josh ran a whole day sneak campaign, posting on social media to vote for him.
I posted one picture
about 8 hours ago.
Listen, don't feel sorry for yourself.
It's whatever.
All right. So, guys, so that's this or that. Keep voting. Please keep voting. Keep voting. Keep voting. All right. So that's the end of this or that.
Moving along.
Yeah, moving along. Exactly. So today we were thinking about what we wanted to talk about in the short period of time that we have every Friday to chat about watches with you, the internet people of the world. And we were talking about how social media and the internet has changed things for online businesses or what used to be brick and mortar now online. So, and how that kind of fit in again in the watch world, and how maybe possibly the luxury watch industry has been affected more than really any other industry, right? And obviously, maybe we're a little bit biased when we say things like that, but I think it's possible. If you look at everything, you know, from being able to have access to inventory, right? There's no greater access to inventory than there ever has been, right? Access to different brands, right? So learning about different brands before, you know, say 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago, if you wanted to learn about a new brand, you walked into a little retailer, and maybe they just picked up a new little weird brand. Like
whatever they just did their training on is what they're pushing.
That's true, right? So
in regards to like the ability to have access to research, obviously the internet did that
changed
for
everything.
Every business, but
right?
For something that's so important, like trying the watch on, I think that opens a lot of possibilities to people being able to see it on different wrists. In different atmospheres.
Well, so that's the next point,
public,
right? So social media has really been the last step, I think, that's changed things. And even since I started in this industry, I know you've been in it for probably twice as long as I have.
Yeah.
But Instagram has really made a huge difference. And, some guys might be like, it's silly, but it's really not, right? So when I first started in this industry, there was really one main guy who was posting online. He was starting to get kind of big, and it was Watch a Niche. Right? So A-N-I-S-H, Watch a Niche. And, he was just posting, pictures of watches that he really didn't own, but people didn't know. And he was, he was taking wrist shots, and people were, looking at his watches. And there was momentum created, I think, from there. So now, a wrist shot is a thing, right? That's something that's developed in the last, five years or so, right?
Shout out, that's not a paid advertisement. You can send your check this way. Yeah, I mean, the wrist shot, daily, the what are you wearing today?
Right.
You see a lot of trends over social media. We had the, watches and coffee trend that went around. The watch roll, which is very popular on Instagram now.
My entire
video
feed.
Stories is all watch rolls.
Yeah, just.
You got guys, for some reason, pouring coffee over watches, which I don't quite understand.
Don't pour hot liquid over your watches,
but
please. It's not a good idea.
There's a lot of trends, and I think the really important idea here is
well, how do you utilize all these different...
How do you figure out, who you like, whose style aesthetic you like, and who you want to follow to get an idea of style, of what you should be looking at, stuff like that?
So we wanted to talk about, our process, but also some tips on how to utilize all these tools, because that's what they are, tools for you. So, for example, say you live in, somewhere in Oklahoma, right? It's my idea of BFE, right? In the middle of nowhere where you don't have a lot of access to get your hands on watches. Well, how are you going to decide, number one, what do you like? And number two, what you're going to like, right? So the internet's the place to go. So you can buy watches from guys like us, from the Joma Shops of the world, Authentic Watches, Chronic Caliber, whoever it may be, or you can buy those watches and they can ship them right to your door. But how do you know which watches to buy? And that's where social media and YouTube really comes in. And, it's important to kind of focus on these things, especially when you're spending lots of money. You're spending, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000. You're sending it off to somebody in another state for them to ship you, an expensive package. How do you know that when you open that package, you're going to like that watch? So a couple things. Instagram is a big thing. We just talked about it a little bit. But what are you going to search for on Instagram? Well, for me, it's not just as simple as just searching for a reference or searching for a watch specifically. What I like to do personally is I like to look at style guides, right? So you look for people who maybe have a similar style that you want to aspire to or similar style that you have yourself.
Right.
And people who can afford the watches that you're wearing, and look for those people who are wearing watches too. So it does two things in my opinion. Number one, it gives you an idea of what the watch is going to look like on your wrist on a daily basis, right? Because those people are usually taking, candid shots or whatever it may be, right? Number two, those people a lot of times have personal stylists,
right?
Because, let's be honest. Of course, there's mechanical aspect to collecting watches, but a lot of times it's about fashion, right? That's why I have a bright orange strap on my pant, right? There's no function. Hashtag fashion. There you go. So there's no function to that other than, not being shot in the woods, I guess.
Right.
So, but what I'm saying is, look for people who maybe personally have their own personal stylist, then you can piggyback off their style, and you're getting the benefits of those stylists. And I think that's an important thing too. So think about it.
It's definitely a valid concept. What I like about social media, and not only does it open people's eyes to new things. But like once you find certain people that you like, now you have a constant feed of information that's coming in. You know, Instagram will have a constant feed of new stuff you should be looking at, recommendations. So
if you're really girls with big butts too, Jason.
Yeah, that too. If you're really into, you know, the stuff that you're liking, that algorithm, you take advantage of it and you just have a constant feed of news. One thing that I think is very important is taking who that's you're following on Instagram with kind of a grain of salt too. So like if you're following you know, certain retailers and they're posting things,
yeah,
that's just stuff they have for sale, right. Or you know, that's not somebody saying this watch is fire, you should really look
at
this.
Salespeople, like, be careful what you see they put posting.
Exactly. There's a difference. So, like, neither one of us is going to come on the show and say, like, oh, I've never really liked that watch and then put it on Instagram and go, this is fire, right? Because it's just, it's not our style. I post stuff on Instagram.
Maybe sarcastically, I guess.
I post stuff that I just think is cool. It's not, like, solicit me to buy this watch.
I have a bust-down Frank Mueller on my Instagram. Yeah. You can take a look at it.
Josh thinks a lot of watches are cool that aren't, but I just think, like, it's important to...
Style guide right here.
Kind of take a grain of salt and find someone that you like their aesthetic... and like what they like. And one, you know, you kind of...
Well, you want to be careful also of people who may be sponsored by a certain brand. So if Tom Brady, if you like the way Tom Brady dresses, you notice that guy's always wearing Tag Heuers. Maybe I should get myself a Tag Heuer because that's what he likes. You might think to yourself, well, let me dig a little deeper and find out, oh, this guy's getting paid to wear these things. Yeah. Maybe he does like them also, but I think he wears Rolex as well in AP, so...
Yeah.
So finding style guides is a way to...
Cool idea, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool idea to help, you know, develop your taste in purchasing watches. Also, what's great, too, is that, you know, what the internet has done, social media has done, is created communities. So, I mean, just like on my Instagram, I'm talking to people about watches that I have never met and will never meet in person, constantly. Hey, you know, saw that post you made about whatever watch it is.
Right.
Let's you'll tell me how you feel
what
about
do you
it
think?
Or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So that's something also. So you can reach out to strangers and ask them about their, you know, about their
property.
That's
what the internet's always been based on.
Yes.
Reaching out to strangers.
That's right. ASL.
You find a group of people that are, you know, similar minded and like what you like and collect what you collect and want to have a conversation. Just like think about it like how you guys flood to the chat, right, when we do the show. I know half of you guys probably log in here just for the conversation that's going on in the chat because you get to see the same guys every week, talk the same, you know, crap about watches every week, and just kick it with the guys in the chat crew. And listen to us babble in the background. It's just kind of a mainstay type event. There's a lot of talk going on about ceramic Daytonas. Captain Zed in the chat is saying that there is a lot of misinformation and a lot of bullshit out there on the websites and all that. So, you know, I always think like the romantic side of like the brand videos, like you got to kind of take that with a grain of salt too, because everybody thinks they invented the automatic movement. Everybody thinks they were the first dive watch.
That's right.
Everybody advertises, you know, first chronometer certified movement.
Blancpain was the
you
first
just
everything, right?
Have to kind of, yeah, Blancpain did it all before anybody, and they're the best
first
watch ever.
That's right.
That's sarcasm at its finest. So I just think, you know, the idea here is to be as open-minded as possible and kind of make decisions for yourself.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
anything
I think so.
Going on in the chat?
I got some good questions. So a guy named George Varoghese, say that's how he says his name, says he's never owned a Panerai, but he's looking at a 616. What do you guys think? So can I feel this one?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So when the 616 was announced, I thought this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, because the most interaction I had with forged carbon was with like an AP Bumblebee or a Grand Prix, so soft material that chipped and basically just turned to crap very quickly, right?
Right.
And so if you have noticed, AP's not doing forged carbon anymore for that reason. So I thought, this is silly, okay? I saw pictures of it, I'm like, okay, it looks kind of cool, but it's going to be silly. So I get the watch in my hand, and I go, okay, well, this is a little bit different than I thought, okay? So the watch is actually made out of a type of forged carbon that's extremely tough and really hard, right? So it's more similar to ceramic than I'd say than the forged carbon of Audemars.
Sure.
Right? So that's one thing that I liked about it. It's also a little slimmer on the wrist than, say, like a 508, which would be like the ceramic submersible.
Right.
So for those two reasons, I like it. I don't know if I would recommend it as your first Panerai. It doesn't really have the essence of Panerai. The essence of Panerai, I mean, it's not 100% this, but this is basically what it is, right? Super basic dive watches, right? High visibility loom, stainless steel, super basic.
Unless you don't have any loom, and then
it's like also... this one, yeah. But, so basically, this is I would tell you, if you want to get your first Panerai, I don't know the level of collector you are. I don't know what kind of money you want to spend. If you were looking to spend, you know, $10,000 plus on a Panerai, then yeah, it's probably a good way to go. If you want to have a collection of Panerai, maybe two or three of them, I'd say start with something a little bit more basic to get the essence of it. I always like going for a Radiomir because it's something off the beaten path. It's something different. That's what I would say. But I'd say go stainless steel, go manual wind, and go painted dial. That's for your first Panerai. Even if you want to go spend a ton of money, buy that first and then go spend a ton of money on something else. Also, Zach Blass had a good suggestion. He says that if you don't have a chance to try on a watch at a local retailer AD, use the Watchbox app for a virtual try-on. I guess, does that work? I've never used it.
It does work.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's basically the watches are photographed and then superimposed. So in the right angles, it kind of works, and then sometimes it just looks like paper on your wrist. But it's kind of cool. It helps get some kind of proportion. But I think as we were talking about like social media, seeing it on Instagram, Facebook, people that you know their wrist dimensions and have similar style aesthetic, yeah, you can kind of get a better idea.
Well, the other thing I wanted to touch on also is when you're looking at other people's watches on their wrist and you want to get a sense for, you know, if, are they going to fit correctly, there's basically like two styles of wrists or two like types of wrists. There's a round wrist and a flat wrist. I have an extremely flat wrist. You guys can see it's like square. Okay, so there's a lot of watches I can't wear. Like the Cartier Clip Diver that we talked about a few weeks ago. I put that on my wrist, and it's just like it's like the silliest thing, right? It doesn't sit flat on my wrist.
Similar to how the Omega that you had.
Yeah.
The Seamaster 300, was it?
Right, yeah. My 300
meter. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, that one just did not sit on my wrist well, even though it was a 41 millimeter, and I can wear a 44 millimeter Panerai with no problem. Flat case back, flat wrist. We're okay. Yeah. Jason has more of a round-shaped wrist.
So my wrist is a little bit more round, even though our wrist size is only probably, what, half an inch off? I have a 7.5 inch wrist.
Yeah, so I'm probably 7.25.
So you're definitely, yeah, so about a quarter of an inch.
Depending on the swell.
It really just, so the point there is it's not so much, you know, the how it's going to fit in one dimension. It's how it's going to sit on the wrist as well. So you have to kind of take that into account. So finding, you know, Tim always leads off with his videos saying, you know, I have a this size wrist in circumference. And that's a form of how you can identify. And how many times have we heard people call in and say, I have the same size wrist as Tim.
Right.
So it's going to sit like that on my wrist.
You know what my reply is? You have a tiny wrist, sir.
Tim is a tiny
wrist. He has a small wrist. Yes. Look at the shape of the guy's wrist too, because the size doesn't always matter, because Jason can wear a larger watch because he has a round wrist. And even if my wrist was bigger, and maybe it is, it would be I can have to wear smaller watches sometimes.
I went so out of my way to not make that reference in my deliberate wording. I thought very hard about that, and you just said it on.
Size doesn't always matter. Effort sometimes matters. Okay, guys? So let's hear. Oh, also, Aunt G wanted to know, Jason, do you flash your weapons at work?
All the time.
Well, I mean, you're at work now.
I am at work.
Right.
Well, technically, I'm my own boss. So
I don't think that's the case at all.
I think it is. So I make the rules, and I play by my own rules. There's a weapon on the table. I don't know. Josh likes to call them weapons. I don't call this. I call this a tool. So
I might call something else a tool, Jason.
Yourself?
You, from bringing weapons on camera.
So if you guys only knew, this is not a weapon. This is something. So
can I touch this weapon?
I mean, you're more than welcome.
Oh, that's a nice
first
weapon,
time guys. Anybody's ever bled out on TV. Josh cuts himself by picking up.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So why is this a great weapon?
Josh has started researching knives, looking at them a little bit.
Yeah. Well, if there's money in it, I guess.
There's definitely money there.
All right. So here, let's. So that was kind of our conversation, guys. You guys dig a little deeper, but utilizing YouTube, like our show, which is maybe not full of information, but can give you some ideas towards, you know, looking for towards something. But Tim's videos, his hands-on reviews. But there's other channels also. So there's guys who do style guides. There's guys who other do hands-on reviews. Like you can look at Archie Luxury. So if you know, if you're a maniac and you want to find another maniac to tell you about watches, you can go look at his channel, or you can look at you know, there's Watch Finder makes some nice videos that I like to watch sometimes, and other places. Also,
people that make YouTube videos called The Classroom, where you can learn about stuff and watches and people making. Did you see the bloopers? Though they were hilarious.
I did not.
If you watch the Classroom blooper segment, that's exactly how all three of those guys are in the office every day. It's amazing.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. So just but you know,
utilize the
tools that are at your disposal. All right. The internet is a tool. Find cool people to follow. Find people you don't like. All right. Because the only way you're going to find the people you do like is by ruling out the ones that you don't care for. Hmm. So. You know, kind of find if you find information that you don't believe to be correct, then you know what, maybe I shouldn't follow that guy anymore.
A guy named Michael Lepp says, I want knife reviews from Jason. All right, here or elsewhere. Just come to our office. He's sitting there reviewing these knives constantly.
You should follow me on Instagram. There's a segue.
Yeah, but if you had like a reasonable name, maybe you would.
EvoX4B11.
EvoX471213. With the date of birth or something.
Whatever, Mr. Thanos.
Yeah. All right, so let's see if I can hit up another recommendation.
Pull up that poll.
Josh Paul. Hey, Paul. Paul says that I recommended him a manual Pan 005, and it was his first Panerai. It's a very fun watch. I definitely recommend look at that, guys. That's a margin of victory.
For the guys on the podcast right now, Josh is now losing. It's 76% for Jason.
Wrong.
That is not fake news.
Fake news. Yeah, no, 76% for me, voted for me, and then the balance
honestly,
of 100%
you know what?
Voted for Jason.
I want to make something perfectly clear, okay? Because there were some comments about Jason through the this or that pick.
He did not.
I did not. I really like this watch. And but whether or not you like it or you don't like it, I really don't care. I like it. And that's what watches are about. So
I throw it every week. I don't. I just have terrible taste in watches.
Yeah, I just wanted to pick something that I really liked instead of coming out here and showing like some, you know, some weird, you know, I don't even know. I don't want to put any brand out there, but some weird, you know, watch that didn't really mean anything to me. I always kind of pick and the this or that's like I always say like the thing on my list is like the one I want for me. This watch comes in different sizes. It comes in different flavors. I happen to like the one that we had here, but Josh ends up winning this, it was his entire doing.
Josh already won it, and that's true. I did pick a watch that more people like, but that's the point. Like on a serious note, like every week we pick watches that we personally like, and then you guys can tear us apart about it, and I usually lose. That's fine. My watch collection, you guys have seen it before. It's not full of watches that everybody likes. Right? One of my favorite watches in there is a Perlée. Not many people like Perlée.
Clive Wrangler's asking, if I don't really care, then why do we have a poll? Because it's fun to include you guys.
Jason
in the
likes
vote.
To say he doesn't care about things, but he really does. It's just like
I
his
care about
that's
your
his
guys'
catchphrase.
Opinions on
I don't
the watch,
care.
But if you don't like it, then you don't like it. That's part of the hobby.
All right. Jason does care. So,
you don't know what
SF,
you're talking about.
What's up, man? I do see you in the chat box. Let's see here. Let's get one more good question. Do we see any more? I don't see any other good questions. These guys are terrible. What? Oh, 20 more minutes? Okay.
Well, it's only Friday, so let's do this for 2 more hours. Nah, we got to go get some steaks and some drinks. We got to...
Yeah, man.
All right. I'm going to officially call it over.
All right, cool. So, hey, like always, go ahead and subscribe to our channel. Officially, I didn't say that. 2 episodes ago, we went over 50,000 subscribers. So thank you, all you Russian bots out there who are subscribing to our channel. That's fantastic. We appreciate that. Like us on Facebook. Like us on Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram. Very simple. It's Mr. because I'm a man. Thanos because that's my last name. Jason's got a terrible name. We're not going to say it. Catch us on what? LinkedIn. We're on LinkedIn. We're on MySpace. We're on Grubhub. We're on Friendster. We're on...